10 weeks of Sundays online. I'm really glad to be able to see you guys today, and really glad to be joined by Lance as well. Lance is going to help me out here as we get into the passage here a little bit. So we're going to be talking about Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to turn there, before we get there though, I've got three-year-old twins. They're actually here with Christy, my wife, at the first service. But the other night, I was serving them dinner here a few nights ago, and Christy wasn't able to be at dinner that night. So it's just me and the two kids, and we always serve a vegetable and then something and then a fruit. And so that night we were having broccoli first and then pizza and then an apple. I think that was like the menu. So Samuel is always super into all food. He's a super good eater, and he eats really, really fast. I have to tell him sometimes, like, slow down, like, chew your food before you get another bite, type of thing. And then Sequoia, our daughter, is the opposite. Very slow, very pokey. But this particular night, Sequoia finishes her broccoli, and, like, Samuel has barely started it. Like, Sequoia's onto her pizza. Samuel tells me he doesn't like the broccoli, which is normal for, like, a normal kid, I guess. But, like, Samuel normally, like, likes pretty much everything, broccoli included. So that's strange. So I think, well, it's taken him so long, it's gotten cold, and normally we put like some garlic salt on it. We hadn't done that, so that, like, do you want some salt on it? And I warmed it up, so I warmed it up, put some garlic salt on it, and he still told me it was gross, and he didn't like it, and I was like, okay. And then he, like, and this is not normal for Samuel at all, so he's trying to eat it. Like, I can tell he's trying to eat it, but he's like, no, it's yucky. He didn't say gross, he said yucky. And so, like, he spits it out. So I'm thinking, like, he must be sick. Like, beside, he tells me he's still hungry. So I think, like, well, let's see what the pizza. He tries to eat some of the pizza. He eats some of it, but he stops eating the pizza and tells me he doesn't want the pizza either. So then I think he's definitely sick. Well, so I'm not giving him any more food, but Sequoia's on to apples. And then he's asking for apples, and he's saying he's still hungry. Like, what is going on? Then it dawns on me that, you know, Samuel has this bad habit of, like, constantly having his hands in his mouth all the time, like his fingers, his hand, all the time. And I'd been working at the church at the office all that day, and so Chrissy had told me she was going to do this, but it hadn't really clicked with me. She had found some sort of, like, stuff that you put on fingernails that makes your hands, like, taste terrible, apparently. Melissa is shaking her head yes. So she had started that day, but I had forgotten about that. So what was happening is Samuel's trying to eat this broccoli with his hands, because Dad is running the show at dinner, and I was just letting that happen. And the pizza with his hands, and so he's got that horrible tasting stuff on his fingernails, so he's getting that mixed in. So that's why everything literally is gross. You know, he's touching. That finally clicked. And, okay, we're done with all this food. I pull all the food he's touched away. I get him a fork. I cut up his apple real small. I say, like, you have to use the fork. Don't use your hand. He eats the apple. And then I got him some ice cream, which is not normal for us at dinner, but I felt terrible. I was like, this poor kid. So, like, spitting out food, eating, like, super disgusting stuff, not knowing what's going on. So Sequoia got some ice cream, too, just because it's ice cream all around. I ate some ice cream, too. So it was just like, poor Samuel that did that deal. But I've been reading in Ephesians chapter 2, and it reminded me of the situation that we all can remember. We all can remember these times where even the good stuff that we tried to grab a hold of, as soon as we got a hold of something, it turned bad. All the stuff we tried to fill ourselves with, whether it was good or bad to start, our fingers were somehow tainted, and we made it bad. Like, before it could really get to us and fill us up, it wasn't worth having in our mouth. We'd spit it out. We've all been in that spot. Sin is the language the Bible uses for that. We're going to read a passage about how does that work and how do we change the dynamic here. So if you want to flip to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be in verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead in the transgression, in your transgressions and sin. So what it's saying is that because we'd gone our own way, everything was dead in our life. And then it says, describe sin for us here. So it says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's a descriptor for Satan. It says the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So there's this option. There's a sinful way to live. And it means you're following evil. You're disobeying God. And then it describes it even maybe clearer for us in verse 3. It says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. So the flesh, that's a term that Paul uses. Basically, it just means our selfishness, saying my way. And we've got a variety of people in the parking lot today, and all of us look different when we're doing it our own way. It looks a little different on the outside. Some of us still look like really nice, law-abiding people. But there's others of us that don't look like that at all, right? But all of us, no matter what you look like on the outside, when you're following your own way, you know the bitter taste, right? You know how bad stuff that should be good, relationships in your life that should be good, go bad. Jobs that should be good things in your life become bad. Opportunities that seem like they should be a huge blessing fall apart, or you don't even pick them up because everything you touch has got that selfish taint to it, and it ruins it, whether it was good to start with or not. That's what it's describing here, and it says, this is a terrible statement for us to face, it says, the end of verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. It's saying when you're living for my way is best, it says you deserve punishment. A lot of us don't accept that, but when God comes to us with truth. Jesus comes to us with truth. And the truth is, when you live your life on your own, the bad stuff you do to the people around you, you deserve bad things. And that's a hard thing to swallow. A lot of us think, well, I'm not so bad. That other person I see in politics or that other person I see on the news, they're a bad person. But I'm not so bad. I have excuses for why I've done those things that are a little bit not nice or whatever. You know, we kind of talk about ourselves that way. But here, the truth is, you have hurt people. You have done things that you knew were wrong. You've betrayed somebody. You've held on to bitterness. You've hurt somebody when you had the power to help them. It says by our nature, by the very core of who we're like a branch that's fallen off a tree and is all dried up and it's crooked. Like it's really only meant to be put into a fireplace. Like you really can't build anything with it. It's not going to bear any fruit. That's how we are by ourselves. Like we're not fit for anything other than destruction. And we create destruction. Right? The awesome thing about this is it doesn't end in verse 3, and there's a great word that we all need. Now we're in kind of this low spot. There's a great word in verse 4. It says, but. It doesn't end there. There's this big change that comes in verse 4. It says, but because of God's great love for us. Love gets thrown around a lot. That term gets thrown around. Oh, I love you, and I love pizza, and I love, you know, like we just like throw it around. God has a great love for you. A lot of us don't really let that sink in, even if we've heard it 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times. We keep chasing after some sort of great love. And the reality is, it's right there in front of you. God loves you. And it describes, why does he love us? It says, God who is rich in mercy. So it's not that we deserve his love. It's not that we have to earn his love. God has chosen to you. He's chosen to love you. And he is rich in mercy. He's looking to make a payout. He's looking to bless somebody with mercy. But God, who, because of his great love for us, God who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. What that's saying is that Jesus, what he did for us when he died on the cross, and then he rose from the dead, and he said, follow me, what he did there, he gave us a path to life. And God's not waiting for you to get cleaned up or fixed to give you a new life. You don't have to fix whatever problem or whatever mess you've gotten into today. You don't have to fix it before God will get involved, before God will start changing things in your life. It says it's by grace that you have been saved. To get started with God, It just takes accepting that you need help and that you believe that God really loves you and wants to give you help. That's the step. And sometimes we get away from that, but you can't really get away from that with God. You're never going to be in a spot on earth where you're not still saying, Jesus, I need your mercy. Jesus, I need your grace in order to have new life. And so today, you know, I talk about that Samuel story because the reality is, like, I didn't know how to wash that stuff off of Samuel's hands. We'd washed hands before dinner. Dad hadn't gotten it off, so I just used the fork. You had to wait till Chrissy was around to really figure out how do we solve this finger thing. But the reality is, for God, God can't just make you have clean hands with just a magic wand. The reality is, God's been putting grace into your life every day, but it doesn't, none of it sticks until you start to open up to Jesus. God has put somebody in your life who loved you, somebody in your life who helped you, some sort of health, some sort of opportunity, but none of that stuck and made good in your life until you open up and say, Jesus, here's my life, I want to follow you. When you come with humility to God, then his grace sticks in your life. But when you follow the ways of selfishness and disobedience, that grace just falls off of you. Just like, no matter how much good food I gave to Samuel until I gave him a fork, and until he listened to me and used it, it didn't matter that the food was good because his hands weren't good. And the reality is, God wants to put good things in your life, but until you'll start obeying him, until you'll start doing it his way, it won't stick. So Lance, you've got an awesome testimony. When I was thinking about who is somebody whose God has poured out a lot of grace on, Lance came to my mind right away. Your life is a lot different than it was a year and a half ago.
Totally.
So tell us a little bit. Tell us a little snapshot. What changed from a year and a half ago?
Okay, so for the first time in my life, I admitted that I was powerless and my life was becoming manageable. I went to AA. AA got me a good foundation, which brought me into this church. Now I have a church family I can rely on, but I had to first admit that I had problems so I could let God into my life. And then I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior and accepted him for what he did for my life. And I started praying and things. I started feeling better about who I was inside thanks to the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks to Darren Jackson, my sponsor. I love you, brother. And then I took advice from my elders at church, people before me, and thank you, God. And so much has happened. In a year and 4 months of my life, I come into this church and I really harassed Pastor Jake, Pastor Bob at first because I was lost. I didn't know how to start. I didn't know where to start. But it started with me hitting my knees and admitting I needed help. And from there, it all started unfolding. I met my lovely wife, Linda, here. We got married in January. And blessings are way more like God fills the void in my life that I always turn to for drugs and alcohol. And so much more.
So let's just use the Linda example. Okay, we're actually going to tell some different stories than we did first service because Lance got a lot of stories. So tell me about this. So the pattern I kind of see is when we do it our way, even when God tries to put good stuff in our life, it falls apart. But when we do it God's way, the good stuff he tries to give us, it works. So talk to me about you and Linda. How did you guys try to do it God's way, and how has it worked out?
Well, for the first time in my life, I didn't have sex with a woman I wasn't married to until I married her. And I did that because I seen other people here at this church that advised me, Lance, if you do this, your marriage will be blessed. And my marriage is blessed. And I take all the suggestions given to me from AA and from the elders in my church, and I put them into my life. But I start every morning by having my cup of coffee and that nasty cigarette. And then I go in and I pray to God to give me a little bit of Jesus today. And then I ask God to help change me. And I spend 45 minutes suiting up. I read 3 chapters a day, and I try to practice it in my life or understand it. There's days I don't understand, and I walk away from it. And that's the days that I admit I don't understand, that God shows me. It ain't always that day or that present time, but he will show me, and he does show me, and he guides me.
So I'm going to slow us down. Make sure you guys aren't missing this good stuff. The Lance is around. So Lance isn't perfect. You just listen to everything he said. He's got issues, okay? That's a big piece of what this passage is about. God doesn't wait until you're perfect to get involved in your life. So if you will start handing over your life to God, God will start pouring grace into your life. So Lance listened to some people at Maywood. He followed godly wisdom of how to handle, how should he live as a single man. And he followed that. Him and Linda, when they were dating, they followed that. God's blessed their marriage. If you know them, they're this awesome couple to be around. This isn't something to feel guilty about from your past. That's what this passage is about. So wherever you're at today, you can take the same road. Lance has only been on this road for a year, 4 months, or 5 months. God's already getting involved. Wherever you're at today, you start where you're at and you start saying, God, here I am. I have problems. I need your help. Show me the right way to live. And God's going to take you piece by piece and untwist that selfish nature out of us.
So what God has done for a person like me, who is ashamed to be humble, but he taught me how to live with humility in my life so that I can accept the things that other people have for me through God, the love of God and Jesus.
So humility is something that's really easy to talk about, but tell me about your foreman at work. Give me that example.
So I have two foremen at work that are like 10 years younger than me. In my whole life, I always had to be, I was this, you know, I had a bigger fish I caught. I don't have to be that guy anymore. And so I struggled at work, and I prayed for this job, and I knew the minute I walked in and interviewed that this is the God sent for this job because they're Christian-based company. And knowing that, I had to admit every day that I needed help, but it took some frustration first. It took me and one of the foremen kind of having it out. It took me going home, discussing it with my wife, praying about it, and God realizing, me realizing that, Lance, you're not the best carpenter, but you're not best at nothing. What you're best at is following me, son. And so when I do that, God works on who I am and what I can be. And he did. And like the last couple weeks have been amazing at work. Not only can I respect my authority, God, but I can also learn to take something from the table every day. Learn something from these men who, knowing it's a Christian-based company, they're put in the ranks like they are for a reason. And I got to accept that in my life so I can learn how to be humble and remain humble.
So, again, man, I'm just in repeat mode right now. But
good.
So Lance isn't perfect. Lance has this blow-up at work. Okay? He gets angry with his boss. Doesn't feel good about it. He has a discussion, though, with his wife, who's another Christian. And then he has a prayer time with God. In that prayer time, God shows him, you need to change. A lot of times when we have a problem, our first thought is, here's how everyone else needs to change so they can see how I'm right. That's me. I mean, that's why I know that's why we are, right? And many times when I have a problem and I'm actually humble enough to pray about it and listen, God will do exactly what he's doing to Lance. Jake, here's the way you need to change. And then when Lance changes that way, he's been telling me about how now he's learning more at work from these carpenters. He's becoming a better carpenter by admitting he's not the best carpenter. You can become better at anything you're doing when you start to take in this humble approach of, God, what do you want me to do? Instead of, I'm the best, I need the respect, I need everyone to do this my way. When you let all that go, you say, God, what do you want me to do? That's when it starts. That's when the grace that God's pouring in your life works. Because it's a grace to Lance. He gets to work with somebody who's highly skilled. But it can become a curse if Lance brings pride to the table. And that's what those fingers are. That's what those gross fingers are. Something good in his life, but if you put pride on it, or you put something selfish on it, it becomes gross in your mouth. That's how it works. So when Lance is doing this daily time with Jesus, reading a few chapters every day, say, Jesus, how do I do something about it today? He's got that lifeline, that connection with God. So, Lance, talk to me about, everybody's got busy days. Talk to me about on days when you feel like you don't have enough time, how does it play out for you in the morning?
So, some days I'm running a little behind, or I don't know, the coffee took a little longer to swallow down, and I'll be looking at my time, and I'm like, I have a set time frame of 45 minutes a day. And I'm like, man, I only got 20 minutes this morning. So I end up to work 2 minutes late. Still did everything I did with 25 minutes to do it. That's God in my life, because he knows I need that. And at the same time, I think it's because I remain humble. And humble ain't always easy for me. To know that, so God's working on me now, and I'm not there yet, guys, by far, and I hope I never get there. But what I do hope is that God always shows me his grace and mercy so that I can always continue to grow. It's like being humble allows God to make the time for God in my life. And everything else just seems to work out.
And I want to even get a little more specific, because I know some of your story. So when you feel like you don't have enough time, is it like, well, God, I got these 20 minutes, help me get it all done? Or is it like, God, I'm going to stay here and do this?
I'll be late to work.
And then we'll be late. Which is...
My boss knows that.
Hopefully I don't get any of you guys fired, you know, or something this next week. But when I heard that in Lance's life months ago, that he was not going to move off of his time with God, even if he had to be late, or even no matter what happened, then I realized, like, God's going to take this person somewhere. There's no way you can spend quality time with Jesus and not be changed. And when you say, my time with Jesus is more important to me than anything else in my life, then your life will change. That's the whole formula. Like, when you make time with him the priority, then you bear fruit and good things happen. Tell us just some more good stories, whatever you want to talk about. What's something good that God's done in your life?
So there's one thing that's really been on my heart a lot. Right? So, there's one thing that's really been on my heart is all the new faces here today. God, thanks for bringing us together. There's people in this crowd that I didn't think I'd ever stand here at church and praise God with. And you're here. Thank you, God. I love you. And like my son. So, you know, I started like getting all this relief, feeling good about who I was. And I'm like, you got to get into church. You got to do this. You got to do that. God is putting on my heart, Lance, continue to do what you do every day. Out of the last year, my son has seen me 4 mornings because he don't like to get up early. And he's seen the same thing. And I know if I continue to do that, my son's going to find his way into this church with me. Thank you, God, and Lance, for that. I know. I see it taking place.
And, yeah, talk to us, kind of maybe final thing, just about this weight being off your shoulders.
Oh, so I don't worry about tomorrow. I do what's suggested. And I pray about what I don't understand. Because God didn't make me to live a life walking and trying to understand everything. He made me to live in acceptance of what it is so that I can learn from it and then be a blessing to someone else in their life.
Awesome, Lance. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We can never take it for granted the stuff that happens at Maywood. There is new life at Maywood. Anybody can have what Lance has. And Lance is special because Jesus died for Lance, but that passage we just read, that's Jesus offering that same stuff to every one of us. That same life-changing grace to every one of us. Nothing magical about what he's doing. Like I said, Lance is not perfect. But Lance is trying to go every day in dependence on God. Trying to go every day growing in God. He's got the humility to change directions when God tells him to. So, you're here today, you're listening. What do you need to take away? Is it really in your heart that God really has great love for you? Do you know that? Is it really in your heart that left to yourself, you just create a bunch of wrath and a bunch of destruction? Do you really know that? And is it in your heart that love that God has for you, that it's available, that God's wanting to bless you with mercy? Because I want to see a whole bunch more Lance and Lindas all over, not just Maywood, but all over Independence, right? And it's this awesome, it's day of Pentecost today. This is the day where the Holy Spirit comes to the disciples the first time. They've been waiting, and now they got to spread out. And may that be the same season for us in Independence. So there's been this 10 weeks of being away from each other. Now may God spread out, not just through Maywood, but through all Christians in Independence. And may there be new life here. Because there's a lot of people that are going through a lot of their life without the hope that Lance has. And if we have the hope, but we keep it covered up and we don't really use it, then we're holding back what they need. You don't have to have a whole big game plan. You just have to do what Lance is doing. You just have to do quality time with Jesus and then obey what he tells you. Jesus will literally take care of the rest. That freeness that Lance has, if you talk to him, that weight off of his shoulders, it's because he's just trying to do one thing every day, close to Jesus and do what he says. So normally, if we're in the building, we would have this big response time. We come down front and pray over each other. Today, I'm just going to guide you guys in a response. And so what that means is we'll bow our heads here in just a minute. And while we're bowing our heads, I'll say a little statement. And then I just want you in your heart to say, like, yeah, I do agree with that. Or yes, and make it specific to you. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I believe you had the power to raise yourself from the dead, and that you have the power to raise all the dead things in me to new life. Jesus, I ask for your mercy in my life. I have made mistakes this very week. I have done things wrong. Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, please untwist the selfishness in me. Jesus, please give me a humble heart that your grace can fill up, that your grace can stick to. Jesus, help me to walk in obedience. And Jesus, we ask that through Maywood and through all the Christians of Independence, that you would bring new life to our city, new life to Independence. Jesus, specifically, we pray for Donnie and Shalene as they're going down to the plaza here just shortly, and they're going to be worshiping you in the midst of a violent, unhappy crowd. And I pray for new life on the plaza today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.